Then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ is to suffer and to die and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Birds of a feather flock together. This idiom is true for most of our social connections. Aren't we drawn to persons with whom we have common beliefs and attitudes? We are more likely to form a common bond with those of the same moral, political, and religious beliefs. Generally, we marry those with whom we share the same attitudes in social conventions, religious practices and beliefs, and simply have the same interests. We get along better with our employers if we share the same moral principles and hold to the same belief system. Our terms of employment will usually be longer when we work for someone or for a corporation that shares our philosophical and ethical ideologies. The birds flocking together idiom may have come from the 16th century, but like any idiom, it bears a truth. And the truth is, we bind ourselves to those who are more like us. True and lasting fellowship comes from a unity of belief. We see the length and the strength of our relations improved by common beliefs and principles. There's also a deeper measure of the quality of the fellowship. We are happier when we are with those with whom we are in agreement. It's good and pleasant to share truth friendship. Harmony breeds unity. Discord breeds division. We have a true sense of loss when a friendship, for example, is dissolved or goes away. It's like having a little death. We have one less person with whom to have fellowship, that is, to share our common beliefs. This idea of gathering with the people of the same beliefs comes through loudly and clearly in the readings for today. A major theme is, it seems to me, unity of belief is essential for the body of Christ to carry on the work of the gospel. And not only the work of spreading the gospel, but it's ultimately what we teach about Jesus that leads us to holiness. Fellowship amongst Christians is deeper even than friendship. The fellowship that St. John speaks of in his first letter is a communion, a deeper spiritual union amongst believers. The Greek word is koinonia, which means more than just getting along. The first letter of John states very clearly at the beginning why the letter is written, and it is for a very serious reason. Not just an acquaintanceship, this is communion, fellowship. First John says, "We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship," koinonia, "with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that your joy may be complete." The reason John and his people want to share the teaching that they have is to have people's joy full and complete. That's why they're teaching. It's better to be of one mind than to be divided. You can have true fellowship when you're of the same mind. John wants to be able to have fellowship with the other members of the church. And that's only possible if they listen to what he has seen and heard about God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. John is in communion with the Holy Trinity. He wants to bring others into that same communion, the same fellowship. And how's he going to do it? By teaching. This teaching leads to a unity of belief and a strengthened faith and a common fellowship that spreads the gospel and builds up the church. Unity in the church leads to the same unity in the Holy Trinity. We share in the right belief because that's where forgiveness of sins is possible, and ultimately, everlasting life. That's the reason for the fellowship. We're not dealing with a simple intellectual assent to a group of nice thoughts about Jesus. We are dealing with destiny. That's why teaching the right things is so important. If we don't have the right teaching, then we're going to have the wrong belief. If we have the wrong belief, then we are not going to know God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and the oneness that they have with the Holy Ghost. If we don't have that, then not only will our joy be incomplete, but eternal life for us comes into question. That's how serious it is. Teaching was exactly what Jesus did with those apostles when he came back from the dead. He spent 50 days eating with them, traveling with them, teaching them. The last thing he did before ascended into heaven was, as the Bible says, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That kind of teaching. What scriptures could they have been but the Old Testament scriptures? This time, there was a whole new understanding of them for the apostles. They are to be understood only in the knowledge that Jesus is God in the flesh and that he rose bodily from the dead. The Old Testament is a prefiguring of Jesus the Messiah. What a new light is put on the scriptures. What are the scriptures? The law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Jesus told them, "Thus it is written that the Christ is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." They saw these things with their own eyes. They have the right interpretation of the scriptures because they know about whom the scriptures speak. So when there's unity of belief in teaching that comes from the scriptures, then there is a unity amongst the people that reflects the unity that Jesus has with the Father and the Holy Ghost. It's called holy doctrine. Joy is the result of unity in that doctrine, in that fellowship. Joy is the result. Sorrow is the result of division. When people are in fellowship, true communion, then there's joy. This fellowship will only come when people repent and allow the Holy Ghost to cleanse their lives. That's the way into fellowship. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. If they do not, then they're only going to continue to spread harmful division. They will spread untruths about God and members of the body. They will be determined to tear down the body of Christ. But if they teach that Jesus is the only way to unity with the Father and live in that belief by repenting of their sins and spreading the good news in the world, then they are going to be bearers of the joy of communion. The church is the body of believers who teach that Jesus is truly God in the flesh and that he's one with the Father. The church believes that the Holy Scripture teaches them these doctrines. The members are called to teach each other that true love through repentance is available in Christ. They remain true to Jesus and the work of spreading the kingdom. We are going to be able to do that because we do have the Holy Ghost to guide us, to forgive us, to lead us into communion. Let's work toward a unity, and let's do it through teaching. Let us get that teaching solely from Holy Scripture, and let us work so that, like St. John, others' joy may be full. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.